I tell you what, man, my wife will tell you 110 times I must have said over the course of the last week, Windows machines blow. I mean...
Almost live from across the USA, this is Late Night QRM! Your hosts tonight are Josh, Barry J, and Michael, the Virtual Youper. Tonight, the gun control debate. Is it really a debate? IBM's Watson learns how to cuss. And a little more throwy, a little less drinky. All that and more on Late Night QRM! And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire, here's Josh, Barry J, and Michael! Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM show number 79 from the southwest corner of New Hampshire, where it's in the 50s today. I'm Barry J.
From the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Josh, and by the way, it was 50.
And it's about 17 degrees, and we're under a lake effect snow warning from yesterday to tomorrow night sometime in the snowy suburbs of Copper Harbor. I'm Michael, the Virtual Reaper.
Wow, I think that's heading our way, because it's supposed to get cold here in the middle of the week.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Thanks, Michael.
We've had two power failures and lots of snow.
Oh, wow. So, really? Two power failures?
Yep. Jeez. Yep. 2 different days. Huh.
You don't stay down for long, though, it doesn't seem. So that's...
Well, it depends. Good. Yeah, it's 4 to 6 hours. On a bad storm, it'll be 2 to 3 days. But this finally did get me to look. I mean, my generator is in like new condition, but it's about 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And it's a Honda, really nice generator. I looked it up. They still make the conversion kit for propane for it. It's still available off the shelf. So
nice.
I'm thinking about, you know, I've got that full propane tank sitting next to the house.
Yeah.
It's pretty efficient. I mean, Thursday night, the power was out for about 5 hours, 4 to 5 hours, and I went through a gallon and a half of gas.
That's good.
Wow.
So I do get my mileage out of it, but gas is not an easy commodity to get here in town. So I am thinking about going ahead and converting this thing over to propane.
Yeah, that's probably a wise idea. I'm doing the same thing. Well, if I do that, I think I'm just going to get the whole house thing, throw it in there so it automatically jumps over. And,
yep. You know. I do have a comment about this, though, and that's, again, you got to know what you're doing. This was Thursday night, and there's a comment about Dart League a little further in the notes here, something about a little less throwy, a little less drinky. But... you know, we did our Dart League, and I was actually kind of late because of something else going on that we'll cover on the show. But because of that, I walked in the door about 11:30 at the house, and power had been out for about an hour and a half, but I wasn't worried about it. Chris knows where everything is to switch it over, and all she had to do is walk outside and turn the key. And I walked in the door, and, hi, Chris. Hi, you know, Michael. And I said, how's it going? Yeah, pretty good. And uh-oh. Bye, Chris. Yep. See you later. The next town over, somebody's auto start generator ran for about an hour and a half and then blew up. And
wow.
Then proceeded to set the house on fire.
Oh, so, my God.
Major engulfed structure fire. So it's I was already in the ambulance and rolling before they called me out, because that's an automatic for a paramedic. We don't always go on a chimney fire because we get a lot of those up here. But when the structure is actually involved and there's, you know, it's a home, that's an automatic. We go.
Yeah, definitely. Jeez. Wow.
So we're going to be finding out if that was a home install or if that was professionally installed, but. It did quite a number on the house.
Wow. And what was... I mean, it just blew up, so you don't know what was why it blew up.
Or no, I don't. I'm sure it's going to be inspected, but there wasn't much left of it. I was close enough on my own professional duties to see that, hey, that mangled piece of metal there looks like it used to be a whole house generator system.
So if you're going to put a whole house generator system in, you should probably do what my neighbor down the street did and actually have it several feet away from the house in case of something like that happens.
I mean, it's a possibility, but as long as it's put in right, you know, there are a couple of people who are like, oh, no, we're going to go worry about all of our generators. I'm like, you know, it's not any different than you've got furnaces right inside your house.
Yeah, that's true.
The whole idea, has it been maintained? Was it installed properly? Has it been inspected?
Yeah.
Because I don't really see them any more dangerous than the furnace that's sitting right under your feet in the, you know, the basement or in your house or wherever the thing is.
Well. Well, yep. It's always a danger, and especially this time of year. So when we have lots of outages, and shall we jump into the notes?
Sure,
absolutely.
I found a bunch of kind of interesting stories this week. Of course, we'll talk about CES a little.
Yeah,
God. Snorefest. Unless you're really interested in 4K TVs, it was a giant snorefest. Even the people that went out there to cover it were like, this is boring this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And frankly, with my eyes...
That and vibrating forks.
Yeah, vibrating forks.
What the heck does that mean?
One of the things that people kept picking up on was this fork that vibrates to let you know how much you're eating, basically. I don't know how.
It's an eye fork. Yeah. It's an eye fork.
I usually leave that up to my stomach to tell me how much I'm eating and when I should stop.
Yeah. Sometimes, depending on how fast you eat, you can fool your stomach.
Yes.
But you can't fool this fork.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. I saw a bunch of stories about it. I really wasn't that interested to pay attention.
but it was probably better than the 4K TVs, so they had to have something else to look at.
Yeah. 4K TV. Wow. Now you can really see very, you know, intimate detail. The only thing I can say with the 4K TVs is, what's that going to do for Hollywood and makeup? Because I noticed on the high def TVs already, you could, you know, they already had to go out and get special makeup and everything because everybody could see every little thing possible. Now you got 4K TV.
Right. Oh yeah. That's a good point.
With 8K on the heels of that.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, really?
Some people had 8K TVs out there, and they, of course, somebody had a 55-inch 4K OLED TV, which is very nice. It almost needed support just to keep it from folding over on itself because it's that thin.
That's pretty damn thin.
It is. It's super thin. But you know the price point on it was over $10,000, I think.
Oh, pocket change. I think I have that, yeah. So, I have that on the car.
I think most people are like, okay, when 4Ks get down to the price of high def, maybe we'll consider it, but we're not going to run out and buy one just because it's there this time.
No.
Besides, there's no programming for it anyway, yet. So... And they can, supposedly they can upconvert high def TV to 4K, but it's still an upconversion. It's not in its natural state. And actually, too realistic, maybe too tough to take. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe not a good thing.
Yeah.
By the way, how's my audio now?
Your audio is good.
Yeah, you know, when we switched over to the Hangout, I didn't realize I've been shouting into my microphone, and I had switched back to the onboard mic. On the
MacBook, so. Yeah. Jesh had the same problem. We had those.
If I was a little echoey, that's probably why.
Yeah. So, yeah, you were a little echoey before, but it wasn't that noticeable. So, anyway, so the first story, CNET parent, and this is what happens when somebody, a company like CNET, that reviews, its main purpose in life is to review products, is bought by a company like CBS. CNET was about to give accolades to the dish Hapa.
Hapa!
The Hapa! And because as one of the best new devices out there for television and DVRs, and CBS said, no, you're not going to do that because, well, they're in a legal dispute with Dish TV.
Really?
Yes, and since they own CNET, they said, no, you're not doing that. You're not giving
it. I find this very disturbing.
It is very disturbing. You know, because it's like, well, they can do anything they want, and it's not, you know, it just, but it shows that if they're doing that for this, then what are other news agencies doing, you know, with the news?
Right.
Well, CNET's always been one of my go-tos, and they have just, and it's not the people at CNET. They're really good people. That's why they've been one of my go-tos, but... Mm. It's being removed from my bookmark bar because if CBS is going to be calling the shots, then I don't trust what they've got to say.
Right.
And I had issues. CNET was always pretty fair with Apple products versus everything else until CBS bought them. And this is only my point of view. I can't say that this is what really happened. But I did notice that once CBS had purchased CNET, that suddenly all the reviews on Apple products started to take a negative turn.
Really?
And, of course, it's my theory, and my theory alone, is that, you know, Steve Jobs did sit on the board of Disney, which owns ABC. So that's my theory on that, because, you know, before CBS purchased them, CNET was very fair, but after CBS bought them, all of a sudden Apple products were always brought up in a negative light, and even to the point where they would be doing a review and it wasn't even on an Apple product, but they would mention an Apple product and say something snide about it. I lost really any kind of trust in CNET a while ago just because of that. So anyway, next topic, and everybody should be looking out for
Before you jump into that, there was one reason why I would have wanted to be there in the last week, and that was the New Media Awards. It's been moved to just before CES now.
Okay.
And that was the old podcast.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I forget. It's been through several names, yeah. But it used to be in September out in the West Coast, and I think, what's his name? The other network that you deal with a lot. Blueberry?
Oh, Blueberry, yes. Yeah, they started it.
Yeah, he started it.
Yeah.
So that's next on my list. You know, now that I finally made it to Podcasters Across Borders before it was the end, let's see if I can make it to the New Media Awards before it was the end. But if you haven't heard it, the keynote address by Leo Laporte this year was excellent.
Really?
Really, really, really good. And it's under the Twit Live specials.
Okay.
I highly recommend it. You guys being podcasters will tie into this exactly.
Okay.
So he did a great job.
Did he? Good. And I'm glad they got somebody like Leo to do it this year. So that, because it was kind of dying, and now Leo breathes some life back into it.
Of course, we didn't win, so we'll have to work on that.
I don't think even we were submitted, were we?
we'll have to work on that too.
We got to work on our 2.3 listeners out there.
I was going to say, I think we're up to 4 now.
Are we? Wow.
Well, Michael went to Podcasters Across Borders, and there's a few folks there.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Forgot they actually set it up in iTunes to download.
Yeah, but they don't count the Canadians.
Well, I think once they get over the shock that we were kind of conservative leaning, we may have lost a few. Oh. But some of them are still listening.
We're not that conservative. Well, yeah, we are.
Yeah, we are.
No, we're independent thinkers.
We're independent, that lean
stubborn and stubborn independent thinkers. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm going to generate and order my new bumper sticker that says, "I'll give up my guns when the government gives up their guns."
Yeah. Come on. I like that one.
And also the fact that I hate the argument that liberal people, gun control advocates, I should say, and they don't all have to be liberal, but gun control advocates say, well, oh, back when the Second Amendment was written, they were talking about muskets and things like that. And, you know, yeah, sure, you can keep your muskets, but, you know, these other weapons, it was like, no, if you actually... No.
They were talking about cannons.
Exactly.
They were authorizing cannons.
Well, I'm saying that what the Second Amendment says is you can have what the government has.
Yep,
because you're keeping the government in check. So basically, that means I'm going out and buying a drone, man.
Nice.
I'm buying a fleet of drones, man, because the Second Amendment says I can.
I'm going to Hobby Lobby and getting me a big RC plane. And they're not paying their employees Obama insurance on it either.
And I think I'm going to get back involved in Estes Rockets and make myself some ballistic missiles. Homemade nice. Ballistic missiles. Because if the government can have it, I can have it. It's to keep it in check. That's what the Second Amendment is all about. And if you think any different, you're wrong. It just so happens that back then, muskets were the high-tech weapon of the day.
You know what? They're going to try and twist it any way they can.
Oh, they will. Yeah.
It's basically so, in the event that the government becomes so corrupt that you're supposed to work for the people, becomes that corrupt, the people can overthrow that government and then put people in place that will work for the people.
Right. It was, you know, there was a legitimate reason it was ordered the way it is. First Amendment, free speech. Second Amendment, protect that free speech.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's what it's about. And what's going on now is the campaign to make everybody who owns a gun look like they're insane. There's something wrong with them. Mm-hmm. That there must be something a little off, because why would anybody want to own something that can kill people?
Because it kills people.
Like a car?
Yeah. I say because it can kill someone who might say, oh, I don't know, break into the house and mean ill harm to my family.
Oh, but I heard the argument against a car. You can't bring that up because a car's true intent isn't to kill people. Its true intent, the reason it was created, was to have people move people and things from place to place. That's its real intent. And yes, you can use it to kill people, but that's strictly, you know, that would be an accident, or, you know, that's not what it was intent to do.
The guy who tried to assassinate the Queen of the Netherlands last year or 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Or blow people up over, you know, we all have friends and family that have been subject to being around IEDs that were in cars, overseas.
That means it was turned into a weapon. It wasn't created to be a weapon. That's the
argument. And any kind of firearm is used for sport, i.e. whatever that sport may be, target shooting, skeet shooting, some in cases, hunting. There again, too, it depends upon how you want to look at it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. All I look at is a device that likes to hurl lead at a high velocity.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what? Guns don't kill people. People kill people.
Well, yeah.
That's the bottom line. Okay? A gun loaded, unloaded, whether it has a 30-round magazine or if it's a single shot, you know what it is while it sits on top of a table or on top of a bench somewhere, loaded or unloaded? It's a paperweight. Mm-hmm. It's a person that picks it up and decides whether or not they're going to do ill harm one way, shape, form, or another, or if they're going to go skeet shooting.
Right.
So quite frankly, I as much as this may disagree and piss people off, they say, well, we didn't have this problem back, 30, 40, 50 years ago. Well, that's also because crazy people were locked the fuck up.
That's it. We don't have a gun control problem. We have a crime or a criminal control problem.
Exactly. You know what? They weren't releasing murderers back in the street in 8 years on good behavior. I'm sorry. I think you pretty much already defunct the good behavior part when you murdered somebody and then got convicted. So instead, you know, they roll them right back out on the street. Mental patients walking around on the street. You know, they say, "Oh, that's cruel and it's unusual. These people can't help their mental." Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry about that, too. But lock them the hell up so they can't go out and pull a fucking nutty somewhere and hurt a bunch of people. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Give them all the goddamn jello and friggin' flip-flops that they want. Keep them locked up in the building, and they either get the shit straight or that's where you live, chief. Sorry, that's the way the cards were dealt. And that's the way I look at it.
Yep. Exactly. I'm you're preaching to the choir here, brother.
You know, and I could, honest to God, I mean, you know, and they say, well, that's because it doesn't apply to you. I've got, you know, there is history in my family of people who suffer from a mentally debilitating condition. And you know what I say? They're family members. Lock that son of a bitch up. Why? Because they're fucking crazy. That's why. Honest to God, you ain't firing in all 8 cylinders. Your ass gets checked into a hospital permanently.
Exactly. I agree. I totally agree with that. So that's our point on gun control. And if you would like to debate us, go fuck yourself, because there's no debate about it. The Second Amendment is clear.
It is. And any which way you want to twist it, and the touchy-feely, and the, well, if we get rid of all the guns, then there'll be no violence. No, there won't. There'll just be different types of violence.
That's right.
And guess what? By the way, the criminals will still be armed. It's just that the law-abiding citizens won't be able to defend themselves.
Exactly. Okay, I got to jump in here on this, you know. Okay. And I'm not differing at all, but, you know, events that happened this week, one of them, you know, they're all complaining about the Second Amendment. Well, you know, if the country truly disagrees with the Second Amendment, then change it. There is a legal process for it. But it sure as hell is not executive order. Biden.
No. Yes.
Exactly. You know what, Michael? You made a great point. If the country, the people of that country, were opposed to that amendment, then the people can change it. However,
right,
if 49% or 52% of the country says absolutely, unequivocally, I agree with that amendment, then guess what? It isn't right to be changed. And if the executive order, this whole, well, I'll have an executive order to change it. Well, you know what we also refer to that as? A dictatorship. When one person decides what 50% of the nation needs for itself. In which case, then that's why the Second Amendment was written, because that individual is not serving the interests of the majority of its people in that country.
Well, you know, 50%, over 50% of the people in this country don't have the brains to be able to make the right decision. That's why we have the people we have in government. Yeah, they're here to protect us from ourselves.
That's not true. Yeah, right. Keep telling yourself that, kid. Unbelievable. I am so glad I don't listen to political radio anymore, and I'm not knocking your wife's show, by the way. It's just I get so infuriated with the loonies, the sheeple. The sheeple that get led around by the nose here. Don't have an independent thought. Don't think it through and say or ask the question, what if or why? Just agree with what the media force feeds you, and I'm so disgusted with it. I'm not as upset when I come home from driving home from work anymore, because I don't listen to political radio.
Well, frankly, I try not to listen to the news media on television, mostly on television, because, frankly, there is no such thing as true journalism on there.
Journalism is dead.
It's dead. It's gone. It's, you know... And most of it is, you know, they're lockstep with the current administration. There's a couple opposing points of view, which pretty much are lockstep with the other group. Yep. And there's nobody serving the people in the middle, which is the true majority.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty sad out there, and it's like, okay, I'm going to get my news where I want to get my news, and most of it's coming from online now.
Mm-hmm.
And from various places. But I'm done with the brainwashing crap.
Yeah, everyone's got a political agenda, yep, a power or a viewpoint. You know, it's a shame. True journalism is a thing of the past,
right?
And the thing of it is they, even if a journalist wants to be in right up the middle and say, look, this is just the news, we're going to present you with the story, come up with your own opinion, viewpoints, mm-hmm, on it. If they play it right up the middle, then they're crucified by their peers, and they find themselves either blacklisted and they're not allowed to work anywhere,
mm-hmm,
or they're tagged as a radical.
Right, right. And that's what's happening. Even the news is trying to paint you as something, depending on how you think. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not just presenting the news now. They're like, if you think this way, there's something wrong with you. Everything is slanted one way or another, depending on who their masters are.
Mm.
You know, so it's not like the old days. It's ridiculous. So, yes, I find myself listening to less and less news, especially on television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's aside from the weather, I really don't care.
Actually, the local news is about the best out there because they're handling local stories, and even though, you know, if it's a political thing, they tend to slant them. But you know, if you're just hearing about a car accident or something like that, right, or you know, right, what's going on, it's hard to mess that up. But yeah, you know,
anything and everything, it's dramatized. Everything's for ratings. It's in the sense that, you know, they can take, you know, oh, a mouse farted in a field, and they're going to spin that into something that's going to generate a Nielsen rating. Sorry.
I was just thinking of something else. If I'm watching a news story, if I'm on and I'm watching something, and they're about to cover a story, and if they put any kind of music behind it, I turn it off.
Yep.
I said, yep, you do not get to do this to the news. Present the news. Give me the facts.
Yep. But the minute they set mood music to it, which is the attempt to it's psychologically manipulate your mind,
yes,
and your train of thought. You stop being a journalist and a news broadcaster, and you started to become a movie maker.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Yeah, even with the shooting down in Connecticut, you know, okay, 20 children got shot. You can tell that to me. I will feel bad about that.
It's a horrible
thing. I can do that on my own. I don't need the news agency who's supposed to report the facts to me to put music behind it and then run around and interview people about how they feel.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Not the story. That is slanting the news.
And it's, I think, so done in poor taste. It is so unprofessional when they approached a child, a minor, who, for one way, shape, form, or another, has either lived it or saw that scenario. And I watched this on the news, and I thought, you people are supposed to be the grown adults and should realize that the child has just experienced something that no child should ever have to. And yet you're going to say, how do you feel, little girl, about someone's, what just happened? I'm thinking, this kid, you know, how sick and twisted must that person, the journalist, be to ask a child that's just lived through something like that, these kind of questions, to ask him anything for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
You leave that child alone and let the child, you know, seek the professional doctors that need to heal.
Right.
You know, and deal with that sort of crap. When you're a kid, you're not programmed to deal. Hell, most adults can't handle it.
Right.
And I'm thought, you know, you're a real scumbag to sit there and approach a child and say, well, how did you feel about when you saw the man come into school with the gun? And I'm thinking, this is a kid.
Yeah.
You don't.
Why don't you make the kid relive it again and again and again?
Exactly. You know what? All for the sake of ratings, and then they claim it's under the banner of, well, we're just trying to be informative. No, you're not. You're trying to pump up your ratings. You're trying to make it more dramatic for this poor child. And I'm thinking, at that point, honestly, God, you turn off the TV. You wish you could write a letter, but you know it'll fall on deaf ears.
Right.
You write a letter to the producer, and you say, how inappropriate is this? It'll, if anybody even reads it, it'll end up in the trash.
Right.
It'll never, you know?
And they'll go, oh, well, we're just trying to present to our viewers the feeling, what's going on there. And it's like, you don't need to do that. That's not your job. Your job is to report the news. Mm-hmm. If somebody that wants to do a documentary on it would like to do that, then they can go and do that and present the documentary. Last time I checked, you guys aren't making documentaries. You're reporting the news. Report the news. That's right. It. Oh, it's boring. You know, we won't get ratings. Well, you know what? Sorry. But
you did your job.
You did your job. You're supposed to report the news. You're not supposed to, you know, get two political parties all hung up on each other and constantly keep them in a bickering mood where they don't get anything done because you want high ratings and you want to make money. And that's what's causing it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have these problems back when I was young. It happened a little bit, but it usually happened around election time, and then it stopped, and people got together, and people started to hammer things out. Now these 24-hour news services just sit there and drum it up, and, you know, just bring it forward, and just pick on, you know, you know, and then nobody gets anything done.
Mm-hmm.
There are no compromises.
The school of thought, or the train of thought, and I don't mean to be stepping on anybody's toes here, but this is as I understood it when I watched the movie about Howard Stern. Movie came out years and years and years ago, but there were people on the radio who said, people listen because they hate you, and they hate you, so they listen. And there are people that love you, so they listen. But either way, they're listening.
That's right.
And the news is playing to that same marketing scheme, which is if we get you pissed off, you're going to watch because you're pissed off and waiting to see us screw up. Mm-hmm. And if you like us, you're going to watch because you like us already. Either way, we win both ways because you're watching.
It doesn't matter whether it's good attention or bad attention, as long as it's attention.
Yep. So you say to yourself, well, how do you change that? Stop watching.
Yeah. Exactly.
Stop buying the products
of all the
companies that buy commercial airtime during the news segment. And if they come out with Joe Blow's radial tires, don't buy Joe Blow's tires. Make a point not to buy the products that are advertised during it, and they're going to get the hint because it hits them right where it hurts the most, the wallet.
Exactly. Just present the news. That's all we want. We want to know the news, the facts.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, well, I'm already doing that because I hardly ever watch anything. I watch a little bit of local news. I sometimes, if I'm home early, I'll put on national news for as much as I can stomach. But as soon as, you know, like I said, as soon as I hear music being put in the background or something, boom, I'm gone. I'm switching channels.
Yep, because you don't watch junk.
Because I can go on to HBO and watch a movie with background music and stuff.
Good point.
You know, or I can watch any one of those stupid reality shows.
Yeah.
You know?
You mean the non-reality reality show?
Yeah, exactly.
The scripted reality? Yeah.
Just like the news.
That's good point, Barry. Good point. Hey, how the hell do you change a desktop on a Mac?
Oh, there's a way. You got to go in under
Finder?
No, you go in under
the little Apple, yeah.
No, well, you can do that, and you can bring up the, whatchamacallit, what's it called?
Oh, I found it. Sorry.
System preferences, and then you can go into display. And
this is for all those listeners, all four of them, that realize that I'm brand new to the Mac world and have no friggin' clue how to set the desktop.
the joy of discovery.
It is, and my two very best friends in the world and mentors in the world of Apple are slowly but surely spoon-feeding me how to do this because I don't want to, you know, it's wow, this is friggin' awesome. Sorry.
Josh,
Jash, you know, it's really got to just really burn Apple, but the best Apple manual out there is Google.
It's Google.
That is so true. That is so true.
How do I find the rest of my pitches? I just downloaded a bunch when you mentioned the Dropbox, and I can't find them anywhere. How do you browse? I don't know. I'll figure it out.
So we should move on to the next topic, which is Apple Mozilla block vulnerability of Java plugins. And actually, Homeland Security, I think, actually came out with a warning on Thursday that basically said there is a big vulnerability in Java right now. And if you've got it installed, uninstall it. Because
really?
It allows people to come in and then basically they can wipe out your machine. And it's pretty much any machine because Java runs on anything.
Yep.
And so hopefully Oracle is trying to fix it. But and I'm wondering what that's going to do at work because we've got a lot of systems that are using Java. Of course.
Well, I know. On that same note, at my work,
yeah,
we had to unplug the servers from the network because a massive virus has gone through and absolutely just it was wiping out data left and right. And they said, if your machine's acting even slightly weird, let us know. And our whole network was down for company wide over the globe.
Wow.
For a virus reason, and I thought. That's scary.
Yeah, I don't know whether that's what, of course, the late night QRM and website and all my websites are hosted on 1&1. And I was trying to get on 1&1 last night. Now, granted, it was after midnight. And I was trying to get on there. But at least the U.S. Version of 1&1, I could not get on there. I was getting a 404 not found, which means I think they were doing Patriots won 41-28. All right. Sorry, that was breaking news.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, they're moving on.
We'll see Barty now?
And Barty may show up. I don't know. We'll see.
I'll sleep better now.
Yeah. But what was I talking about? Oh, Java. Yeah, 1&1. 1&1. I don't know what they were doing last night, but yeah, if you wanted to get on and do anything with your website last night, of course, it was late hours in the morning, so chances are that's when they do their maintenance and stuff. So, but I'm wondering if it had anything to do with this Java stuff, because, yeah, it's supposed to be really bad. So, yeah, if you've got Java, and this is Oracle Java runtime, you need to remove it for now until Oracle comes out with a patch. So anyway, so that's what that story is. In other news, the Boeing 787 Dreamliner, the beautiful new aircraft that they have just released, and Japan bought a whole bunch of them.
Yep.
Yeah, there's some problems going on, and the FAA has decided they're going to go investigate it.
It won't fly.
Well, you know, it is a plastic plane.
Right.
Okay. They call them plastic planes. I don't know why. They're not metal, I guess. You know, they're made out of carbon fiber, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, they've had all sorts of... they've had an electrical fire. They had brake problems with it. They had a fuel leak, I believe, on one. So, but, you know... Being an engineer myself, you try to get it as good as you can.
Yep.
You send it through all sorts of testing as you can.
Yep.
But the true test is when you finally get it out there and put it under normal conditions.
Yep. And then you say, good enough.
Yeah. and you know, that is the true test, and you're still going to find some things wrong, and you're going to have to fix them. You know, unlike software, well, actually, some software goes under scrutiny. But, you know, depending on, well, yeah, anything that goes in space, that is like tested, retested, and tested again, and then tested
just three, four times.
Yeah, yeah.
And exactly. Because it ain't real easy to fix.
Yes, exactly. It goes wrong up in space. Yeah, it's kind of hard to get up there and fix it.
I'll just stop by and change a little code. No, you won't.
So, and I would think that, you know, Dreamliners would be in the same boat as space. You'd want to make sure it was tested, retested, and tested. Mm-hmm. And still, there's some room. I mean, even with space vehicles, there can be issues, and that's why you build redundancy and everything else into the thing.
The triple redundancy. Who are we kidding?
And don't forget, this is the press talking about this. So, you know, are they going to talk about a aircraft that has no problems whatsoever, and you know, it was released and everything's hunky-dory? No, they're going to pick out every little thing that could possibly go wrong and then hype it a little more.
You know? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because that's good ratings.
That's good ratings, man. That is good ratings. Yes.
What are your thoughts, Michael? Well, thanks for coming to work today.
No. Oh, well, geez.
Michael?
I'm sorry. I was doing additional research on the subject about Four Lines Down.
Right.
Oh, about Four Lines Down.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. I threw that in just for you.
That, what? No. The one I added. Okay,
oh, the one you added. Oh. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I put one in there that's we're going to get to that's just for you, Michael, because I thought you could add your...
Oh, yeah, I've got comments on that one, too.
So, anyway, now into some important news.
Yeah.
Apparently, the rumors are running wild, and it may actually happen. Mm-hmm. There may be Star Wars... the television show.
Oh, boy. Talk about mess, not a good thing.
Now, this would be... They would take... what was the storyline? Let me bring it up, because the storyline was...
Just don't make it a sitcom.
I never even thought...
Clone in the Family.
Oh, my God.
Vader knows best.
My Three Troopers.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I never even thought of that horrible, horrible thought until you just said something, Michael.
The courtship of Luke's father.
I didn't think it could get any worse.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, apparently, let's see, where was it? Yeah, I can't find it now. I'm trying to read this.
Well, there you go.
But it was supposedly the story would take place on a planet that's kind of at the edge of the, what used to be the Empire. And and it would just take place on one planet and some people that lived there. Almost sounded like Firefly.
It does sound a little cool what you're saying now. Yeah. Sounds like Firefly. Which, oh, by the way, I heard they're bringing that back.
Well, they would like to. I know all the people that, all the actors that were in Firefly would like to see it come back. And one of the actors, and I don't know his name, but the one that got killed off is quite upset about that. because he got killed off.
I can't. Yeah, I was gonna say I can't imagine why he'd be bummed.
So, but
awesome show, by the way.
Yeah, Fox totally screwed that up. When it first came on, I watched it, but of course, the story behind that was they didn't think the first episode was that good because all it was doing was building the storyline up and getting you to know all the people. So, you know, there was a lot of play on getting that all done, so they decided to start the season with the third episode.
Yes.
And you didn't know what the hell was going on. You didn't know anything about these people, and it was like, oh, this kind of sucks. You know,
yes.
I watched exactly one episode and said, this sucks. But then when it got on Netflix,
yeah,
you and I heard so many people liked it and everything, I decided, okay, well, I'm going to watch it, but I'm going to watch it the way that the director and the writer intended it to be. And you know what? I got hooked on it.
Yep, and yep. I'm going to go watch it again tonight.
Yeah, it's actually good. You know what I'm hooked on right now? And no, I believe it's still on, but I can't watch it because I'm still on the first season, is the Fringe.
Oh, Fringe. Oh, my Fringe. God. Fringe. I love Fringe.
I am absolutely... I mean, the thing, even when I'm watching TV, even if I'm tired, it keeps me wide awake.
Yeah.
I am just... I mean, it's so well done.
And, yes, it is.
And I, you know, last night I was up until almost 4 o'clock in the morning because I said, let me catch... I'm just going to watch one Fringe. I ended up watching 3 of them.
Yeah. You know? Exactly. And this is the last season for them.
Is it?
Yes,
that's a shame. Oh, well, I'm on season 1, so I've got, like, what, 6-7 more seasons to go?
Oh, God, you get a ton of seasons to go. Holy crap, you got a lot to go through.
You know, I like doing it this way, too, because I like watching 2 or 3 of them at a time.
Right.
So, and then the other thing, oh, I hate to admit this. I don't know whether I admitted this on the show yet or not, but my wife got me hooked over Christmas break. I was up on Amazon and caught up because I hadn't watched any of the seasons, but I'm a Downton Abbey fan.
Oh, Downton Abbey?
Downton Abbey, yeah.
Yes.
I am. I got hooked into it. I like historical things, especially if they do a good job, doing a realistic view of the historical time.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's what caught me up in it now. Yeah, 3rd season just started. Matter of fact, it's on tonight. It'll be recorded on the DVR. But when we're done here, I'll probably run down and watch it. So, yes. Okay. I like those kind of shows. They're the shows I get involved in. I don't watch any of these other shows that are out there.
Well,
reality shows.
You mean the non-reality shows?
Yeah, the non-reality shows. I can't stand those things. It's like, oh, that's like, I look at that and I think of, what the heck is that movie called? Oh, God, it was in my head and now it's gone. The one where the guys went, were in the army and they got put in a sleep chamber and then they forgot about the experiment got canceled. They're only supposed to be in there for like a day. And after they could put them in there, it got canceled, so they just put the storage things away, and they woke up 500 years later.
Buck Rogers?
No. Close. I can't think of it. Something-ocracy. God, I can't think of it right now. And people listening are probably are screaming it out at me. And anyway, you can look it up. Google it. But it's all about how... Because we didn't let Darwin's theory take place and all the stupid people died out. And instead, all the smart people kind of started dying out. So the world was filled with...
Idiocracy.
Idiocracy. That's
idiocracy.
It.
Yeah.
Yes.
So all the intelligent people decided to control the population, and all those that weren't intelligent decided to multiply like rabbits.
Right. And basically. Then, of course, with the modern technologies by the smart people, their lives... you know, stupid people did stupid things, but they kept them alive. Meanwhile, the smart people were being so smart that they forgot to have families. They didn't have time to have families, and then they... they all died out.
They die off.
Yeah, they die off. It's great. And my favorite line from there. Shut up, I'm baiting! Which, if you have to watch the movie to find out what that means. anyway.
Yes, I will.
I read the original short story. There was a short science story written on that. It was in a collection. Mm-hmm. I read that like 40-some-odd years ago. I'm trying to remember who wrote it originally. But I got to see the movie sometime.
Yes. It's probably up on Netflix. I'm sure it is. It's got to be up there, Idiocracy. It was done by the guy who did Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill. And I think it's the same, and he's the one that did Office Space. So, It's definitely worth a look. So, anyway, speaking of deteriorating society, the people that run IBM's Watson decided that they wanted to enrich Watson's perspective on things and language, so they taught it the Urban Dictionary.
Uh-huh. Yeah, who thought this was a good idea?
And then Watson started cursing every other word, pretty much, whenever it answered anything.
Now there's a shocker.
So they had to, first of all, have it unlearn the Urban Dictionary, and now they have a curse filter on it, because it was basically using bad language every other word. It's like, you know.
Oh, so it's like a rapper.
Yeah, like, shut the fuck up, you know. That would be an answer for something, you know.
That's too funny.
What, you think there's a risk in this? YOLO. Yeah,
I love that. That is classic. You think this is a good idea? Yeah, sure it is. way to plan ahead.
So I thought that was pretty good. That was kind of funny. So yeah, they're still working on it, because apparently Watson didn't forget all the words. So.
Of course not. Probably learns the swears in other languages.
It's probably going to delay its next appearance in Jeopardy.
Yeah, that's right. It can't even appear in Jeopardy because it's cursing too much. Can't put it on prime time.
What I'll take bitches? Fucking politics for 100.
That's too good.
Alex Trebek, I fucked your mother last night.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah. All right. Well, this is actually kind of a serious thing, although watch it when you're at work, because apparently the flu is out and around us, and in particular, it kind of started in the Boston area.
Yep.
And from what I understand, there's actually been 20 children that have died from it. You know, how come it's always 20? That's the new 33.
Hmm.
I don't know. So I just thought about that. It seems like whenever you hear about children, it's always 20 children. So, but yeah, 20 children have died from the flu, and they're asking people to go out and get their flu shots now. Hopefully, they've upgraded the flu shot and they actually have the right virus in it. Because I did have a flu shot.
Yeah, they think they got it pretty close this year, but you know, and I assume this is the story you were referencing me to.
No, it's the next one, but we'll go on with that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Actually,
both of these are for
but
you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm getting called like 2-3 times a week to come in whenever possible, and I can't always do it. I just really get my hands full with my family situation right now. Mm-hmm. But I did work last weekend, and every other call was flu related. And people are getting really, really sick with this. And especially the very young, the very old, the stress on the system is causing cardiac issues and everything else. It's not just the flu. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the flu is there, but it's so severe it's causing other problems for people that have got other issues. The last shift I worked, they at one point were down to one free bed in the entire hospital.
Wow.
And they were getting ready to go in and divert. Now, I just happened, because of one of the many trips I spent going to the hospital because of the family situation, I just happened to be there and like, oh, yeah, they're giving flu shots today. Yeah, I'm on leave of absence, but I probably should go get it anyhow. It is making a difference. Now, for people that have got compromised immune systems or other health issues, they still tend to be getting the flu, but not as bad if they get the shot.
Mm-hmm.
And Okay. Everybody around me has been sick, and probably about half the people, well, not half, but about a half dozen people in Copper Harbor, which is a pretty good, you know, size of the population, good chunk of it, have wound up in the hospital.
Wow.
So that's
take your vitamins, get your shot if you haven't gotten it.
No, I was actually going to take my chances. I'm dead serious. Every year that I've gotten a flu shot, I got sick enough that I was out of work for like 5 days.
Wow. No, and I understand that. I've had bad reactions from it as well there, Josh. But this one, I can't say whether or not, but it has right. helped me because everybody around me has had it, and I have not gotten it. And it's not like I'm not under stress or anything.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I'm toying with the idea, toying with it. I don't know. I don't.
Well, if you systematically react bad to the flu shot, then, yeah, you
probably going to stay away from it.
Yeah. Well, calm down those vitamins, man.
I got mine several months ago. I did get a flu shot because every time when you're a diabetic, that's all they do is scream at you to get flu shots. Get a flu shot. Every day you say, all right, I'll get a flu shot. Just shut up about it, you know?
Right.
And, but again, they're trying to guess. Yeah, I'm sure there's some you know, scientific guessing going on what strains are going to be out there. And I just hope I got the right strain, you know, in the flu shot. So,
well, much like Michael said, one of the things, I take 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day. In the effervescent, though, when you drink the emergency, and, you know, whatever my body can't use, you pee it out anyway. Okay. But it's just as a precautionary measure to boost my immune system.
Yeah. Oh, that's a smart idea. My biggest problem is, and I got to remember to keep using I have it on my desk, the antiseptic stuff.
Hand sanitizer.
Yeah, and I know they say that doesn't help that much, but my problem is not only, it's more like when you handle doors, and in our case, to get in certain rooms, we have hand readers, and that means anybody that goes in that room has to put their hand in the hand reader.
Yep.
And so, you know, that's why I think disease, colds, everything spread rapidly through our work environment just because of the stupid hand readers.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So so I'm kind of trying to be extra careful because all you have to do is put your hand in the hand reader and then bring it up to your nose and you're done. So, you know, just wiping the bottom of your nose, you're done.
And, you know, the funny thing is you would think with the knowledge that people have and the ease of being able to spread, you know, germs, i.e. a cold, so on and so forth, you'd think you'd have a retina scan, a retina ID, rather than the, you know, the palm print. We have the same thing at work as well, you know, so it reads your palm, it reads your fingertips and your fingerprints. But you're right, someone sneezes in their hand, they forget, they wipe it on their shirt, they put their hand on the reader. Okay, boop, they're admitted access. Then the next guy goes in, does it, and then puts their hand because they have to sneeze or what have you. And you say to yourself, why didn't we put in a retina recognition reader? That way you just stand in front of it. You don't have to touch anything. The laser beam goes zip, zip, reads your eyeball, and now you get in.
Or better yet, why don't you just use an
RFID badge.
RFID
reader.
Badge and not have to touch anything. That would be very... I don't understand these things. So. Anyway, that's for security people to ponder. It's a neat gadget. They like it. It's like, yeah, and it makes everybody sick. So anyway, so watch out. Get a flu shot if you haven't had one. I'm sure the flu shots they have now closely represent the flu that's out there and spreading, so you might have a chance. This other story was kind of only because Michael has to deal with HIPAA laws all the time, but this one is very strange, and I got to bring the story up again because I read it at the beginning of the week, and frankly, I'm kind of shy on some of the details now. But apparently, there was reported that there was a guy was frisking on the street. We're frisking a bloody-faced man who was then loaded into an ambulance by paramedics. Another guy on the street that had nothing to do with... okay, who's moving their mic?
That was me, sorry. Okay.
Had nothing to do. He was there, and he saw what was going on. He had a video camera, and he started videotaping it.
Yeah, so?
Okay.
HIPAA doesn't apply to him if he's an innocent bystander.
Well, according to that, the police took his camera and said, this is evidence.
Yeah.
And so they took it from him, and they said, well, when do I get it back? He goes, you'll have to... Uh-oh, who'd we lose? We lost Josh.
Not me.
We lost Josh.
Standing in for Barty tonight, will be Josh.
So, you know, Hangout does still have issues. Let's see if Josh can...
Well, that's something, you know, some valid explanation comes up.
Yeah, well, so, anyway... So I'll continue on with the story. So he goes back. He goes to the police office, to the police station, to get his camera back, or at least find out what he has to do to get his camera back. And he's charged with. Oh, let's see if Josh is there. And Josh, have you made it back in? No. I heard it go up. Okay. Well, we'll continue on. I thought he'd be back. He'll probably go back down again in a second. So he went in to find out about this, and he was charged with obstruction of legal process and disorderly conduct. And we may have to switch over to Skype. And he was... there he is. He's back.
Yeah. All of a sudden, Hangouts just decided that it didn't want to play ball.
Yes, I know. That's what happened to Barty last week.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah, because it's funny. Everything's good, and then but all of a sudden you hear, and you're gone. You know.
Yeah, I heard you right in mid sentence, and you were gone. And yeah. I thought, wait a minute. I know I'm looking at eBay at iPods, but I didn't think that was those two were put together to be a problem. Well, okay. See,
if it becomes a problem, if you drop out again, if it becomes a problem, we'll move over to Skype.
Yeah.
So what I was saying, Josh, is this guy went in to get his camera. Okay, so the police confiscated, said it was evidence. And he said, come to the police station if you know, to find it. So he went to find out how he can get his camera back. And they charged him with obstruction of the legal process. And where was it?
That's bullshit. It'll never stick.
Disorderly conduct.
It'll never stick.
With a fine and everything. And they said, well, what did I do wrong? And they said it was because you were recording that, and it's for data privacy on HIPAA violation.
No, it doesn't apply. HIPAA only applies to those who've taken the oath.
Well, I would think we should follow this story, because I want to see what's
going
on.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this turns out.
Because that is pretty bizarre. He has nothing to do with HIPAA.
He's not a medical professional. He's not in a medical trade. He's a bystander walking by who sees in a public space a police officer who works for the protection of the public in a public space. He's more than entitled to take his camera and film whatever he sees.
And that's exactly what they say. But you know what the pain in the butt about this is? The fact that he's going to have to hire a lawyer now and spend buku bucks on this, that he did nothing wrong, and of course it was the police that did this to him, so chances are he won't get his money back. He may actually get his camera back.
Right. Any good lawyer worth their salt is going to look at this situation, and they're going to do this case pro bono for the media press alone.
I hope so, because this is, and he takes a good chunk of his life out because of idiots that don't know what they're talking about. Yeah. So
that's a shame. That's a shame.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the cop's trying to do his job. Okay, fine. But someone wants to go ahead and videotape. That's part of being a job. All your actions are accountable. How you conduct yourself is always accountable. So the point being is you always conduct yourself in the fashion that at any given point in time, around any corner, somebody could be filming you with their cell phone, with their iPhone. So you always carry yourself and conduct yourself in a professional manner. And that being the case, Joe Walker, your passerby, they can film anything that they want if it's in a public area. Mm-hmm. And you haven't interfered with either the search, interrogation, or detention of any said suspect. All you've done is filmed what you've seen.
Right.
And so HIPAA doesn't apply for Jack.
I agree. I feel sorry for him and all the hassle he's got to go through and everything else with the whole legal system just because he pulled a video camera out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's...
And just the hassle he's going through, you know? He'll think twice about pulling out a video camera.
I'll be honest with you, though. You got to ask yourself this question, and this is where I'm going to look at the other side of that coin.
Yeah.
Who the hell walks around with a video camera nowadays?
I do.
No, you have one on your phone, but a video camera.
Well, it didn't say whether it was his phone or whether it was a small video camera. Video cameras are very small, but yeah, pretty much everybody walks around with a video camera these days.
Right, if it's his iPhone or if his cell phone, but my point and my next question is...
Well, and to be honest, and I may not get this all right because I'm paraphrasing. He is somebody that goes out because they've had a lot of problems with the police in the area.
Right,
you know, kind of like harassing things.
Okay, so now we're getting other dynamics involved. Yeah. So he listens to his scanner and he shows up, and he is with his video camera shooting any and all police activity. Basically, making, in my humble opinion, I'm not saying everybody's good, but I'm saying he's making their job a lot harder than it needs to be, and he's looking to try and find fault.
But if there is a problem with the police in the area.
Yeah.
You would hope that you would want people like that out there doing that so that you could solve the problem. Because let's face it, if there's a problem with the police, it's very difficult
to try and fix it.
To try and fix it, yes.
Exactly. Because who aside from IAD, which regulates the police, and then even still, if it's a small town scenario, you know, good fat chance, you got to get the feds involved.
Right. And, you know, if it's the police, it's your word against their word. And most of the time, whose word are the courts going to
listen to? Right. Exactly. But yeah, video,
the only gray area I see here, let me jump in for a second, is... You know, whatever this guy's confrontational relationship with the police is, and it sounds like there might be a history, but we don't know.
Right.
It depends on the local state laws, because actually some of the eastern U.S. laws, state laws, are very, very specific about not being able to videotape the police. Mm-hmm. But the issue here I see is that once the offender... subject, whatever the case is, was under the care of the paramedics. As soon as he went under care of the paramedics, he is entitled to HIPAA protection by the professionals on scene.
Right.
So if they had not gotten him into the ambulance yet, and the police had told this guy to stop filming because he was now under the care of medical professionals, and he refused at that point, then it gets into gray and getting darker area.
Right.
So we don't know what actually happened.
All right. Well, that makes sense.
If he was just filming the police, I even if he was confrontational about it, I don't think there's anything they can do about it. And it still may just be hassling this guy. You know, I wasn't there. I don't want to make any judgments. But if I have a medical case and I'm, you know, the patient is now under my care, then it is actually my responsibility to protect their privacy once they're under my care. Right. And if the guy had been informed to stop shooting at that point, and he didn't, then they might actually have a case for maintaining, raising his camera and getting it back to him.
Right.
Okay.
So that's just the paramedic on the streets view.
Well, I don't know the HIPAA laws. You know, all I know is HIPAA prevents people like you, Michael, who are... You know, medics and paramedics and such, anybody in the medical field, from keeping my situation private, you know?
Right. I like to call it, because I've got this long, you know, couple of pages that they're supposed to sign. And, you know, last thing that somebody who's injured or sick wants to look at and go,
paperwork.
Here's a couple of pieces of paper. My paraphrase is, we came, we saw, we won't tell anybody. Okay.
Exactly. Okay, well, we'll watch for that story and see what happens. See if we get any other updates on that. Microsoft is axing Messenger. You know what they're axing Messenger for?
No.
Boy, that didn't... I tried to say that real fast. Axing Messenger. That's a hard one to say. They're axing Messenger for Skype.
Well, that makes sense. They bought them.
Yeah, I know. Well, actually, when you think about it, Skype's messenger, Skype's texting thing, it does work quite well.
Yeah.
So that does make sense, I guess. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that works. And I guess that means, yeah, that means Skype is going to be worked into Windows, whether you want it to or not.
Or not.
And it'll be built in. So, and
that's fine. I don't care. I'll have a Mac.
Yeah. So, exactly. Because we've got FaceTime. It only works with two people.
That's the bummer part. That part bums me out.
That's one of the things that I'm a little perturbed with Apple about, because it replaced iChat, which you used to be able to bring up multiple people on.
See, that makes sense.
Yes. But that's all right, because we got the Hangout that hangs up.
Yeah, the Hangout.
So, but actually, the sound quality is much improved.
Oh, God, yeah.
Except for the...
Well, sound quality is good, and the bandwidth is very efficient until it drops you.
Until it drops you, yeah.
It works great until it stops.
Yeah. And other than the 60-cycle hum, which I believe is probably a ground loop somewhere between my Mac Mini and the actual mixing board, which I have to fix somehow.
Funny thing is, you were saying that this time last year.
Well, I was saying it last week. I know that because I could hear it then. And hopefully, most of the time, I can process that out. But it just annoys the hell out of me because I can just hear it. It's oh so slightly in the background. But it's there.
Right.
I'm thinking about getting some optocouplers to take care of that problem.
Jesus, not the old optocoupler.
Because I got it.
Didn't Spider-Man fight him, like, from the top of the building?
Optocoupler. The evil optocoupler. I am optocoupler.
Pretty sure I...
Careful, I'll throw a photon bomb at you.
Exactly. You gotta watch out for that red kryptonite, too.
So there's two gadgets I have to buy. I have to buy an optocoupler, and I have to get a USB... Oh, I have to get a... whatchamacallit? Oh, God. I am so out of it tonight. I can't... Yeah. A TARDIS. There we go. I was wanting to say Tetris.
A Tetris.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You need to get a TARDIS. You need to get one of these. If I can make them, have it make the noise correctly. Hold on. See here. Let's see if we can do this. Okay. It didn't work for sure. What the hell's that damn noise? No,
it does a.
I wasn't ready for it.
Yeah, I know, and it didn't do it for some crazy ass reason here. And you know what? It's because I got the headphones plugged into it, and my microphone that I'm talking in actually is being used by it.
Ah, okay. But yeah, I have to get a USB port so I can get my camera back. So I've run out of USB ports on my Mac Mini.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too. So, Michael, I read some stories about this. Aaron Swartz.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a quick mention of him. I wasn't prepared for that tonight, but it is all over the geek universe this weekend, and it's, of course, made Fox and CNN. But Aaron Swartz was a 26-year-old young man, one of the founders of RSS, one of the founders of Reddit, and became an activist. And one of the things that's not being covered real well is he got in a real big tussle with some of the universities about, you know, open documents and what's supposed to be free. And where he got into trouble is he got himself into an IT closet at MIT and copied a whole bunch of documents off their servers and then made them public, which are supposed to be public documents in the first place. They're supposed to be, right, you know, public domain. But he's been in this legal battle now. Oh, we just lost.
We lost.
Playing the part of Barty again is Jash. I'm going to continue anyhow.
Okay.
Anyhow, so he had gotten into a big tussle with the government over this, and was literally, for white collar activism, I'll call it, was facing life in prison. So. Very sad story. Very sorry to see this end up the way it was. Very brilliant young man.
but I just wanted to make mention of him.
Did you mention he committed suicide on Friday or Thursday?
No, I didn't get that far. Okay. I was interrupted by the ping of death.
Right.
But
he committed suicide, and nobody knows what the... Josh is calling on Skype. Hang on, let me bring up Skype.
Okay.
Of course, I can bring Josh up, and he can hear me.
Hello.
And Michael can hear me, but I bet you Michael can't hear, or Josh can't
hear. Well, I hear him on your headphones.
I can't hear Michael at all
I'll call you back on Skype. How's that?
Okay. I can barely hear him through your headphones.
Yeah, because I can't hook those two up because they're on the same machine.
Gotcha, yeah.
Please stand by. We're experiencing technical difficulties.
You're both talking at the same time.
Sorry.
Okay, Michael, see you on Skype.
All right. Yeah.
So... we were talking about Aaron Swartz, and you heard the beginning of it, but he committed suicide on last Thursday. He was facing life in prison for that little particular act of his. And there it goes. the TARDIS.
Indeed.
So... but so we'll see. So and Michael left the hangout and has just joined Skype.
Awesome.
And there he is. There we go. Everybody back.
Hello. This thing on?
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay. So yes, it's a shame, and he was a very brilliant person. And very smart, and I don't know whether he had any issues, or whether he had a case of depression, but
there was talk about that, but I'm not sure if that really played into this.
Right. So, and it's a very sad thing because he was a very brilliant guy and did a lot of good things, but you know, and maybe it's just a little bit of me says, if you want to play in the big leagues, though, buddy, you know, if you're going to do stuff like this, expect things, mm-hmm. you know, expect the government to go after you. And you
exactly.
Gotta, you know,
they're going to come back to haunt you.
They are. You want to be an activist, and you know what happens with activists.
Right.
So I feel sorry that he opted to go out that way. And I'm sorry if he suffered from depression. And I feel sorry for all his friends and family that... no longer have him around, but I guess a warning out to other would-be activists. If you're gonna play the activist game, be prepared because they're gonna come after you.
Big time.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my little spiel, I guess, on that. Asteroid has missed us. God.
I mean, Apophis is the big asteroid, which it turned out to be much bigger than they even thought it was.
Great.
That was flaming some of the 12/21/2012 theories about the end of the world. Mm-hmm. And it came by like they thought it was going to come by this month, and whew, okay, it missed us. But boy, it's going to get really close in 2036, so we really got to better watch it. There hasn't been any mention of this asteroid coming February 15th, which is going to come closer.
Oh, is this really? The one that's going to come like closer than the moon is? Right? Yeah.
No, the February 15th, it's coming within 21,500 miles of the Earth.
That's calculated.
That's within the orbit of the satellites.
Yes. I was going to say, isn't that where
Yes.
Geosynchronous orbit.
Geosynchronous orbit is where? At 20,000 or is it 22 or I forget right now.
Yeah, but it's coming in with 0.09 lunar distances from the Earth, and that's the calculated. Now, this one is smaller than Apophis, I will tell you that. It's 30 meters.
What, it'll only blow up half the planet if it meters. Hits it?
30 meters at one... Well, wait a minute, or is it 30 feet? Hang on a second. Let me check my... my sources here. That's what I was trying to do when Josh caught me off guard and asked me for a comment. Like, oh, I'm researching a story here. I'm sorry. Oh,
I'm sorry.
Caught me.
I'm sorry.
No. You're doing your job. Hey, it's better than the. It's bigger than they thought it was now. They now the latest size they've got on this thing is 58 meters.
Oof. Ooh.
So it's a little bigger than a bread box and traveling probably about 40,000 miles an hour. So let's hope this one continues to miss us.
That could do some damage.
But it's not on the news. Everybody's focused on this other one that, you know, they everybody knew was going to miss us this time and going to get not quite as close as this one in 2036. So
if you really want it to make the news, if you want it on everybody's lips, you have to get Honey Boo Boo to say something. If that happens, everybody will be talking about it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, just say. Yeah?
Okay, now that I want to throw up.
So what about parasledding?
Parasledding. Well, my lovely wife and I decided to have lunch this afternoon. Or not this afternoon, but during this week. And I'm trying to think what day that was. It was Thursday. There are lots of things that happen Thursday. But it was a nice windy day. And the lights had been flickering. And they eventually flickered out that night. But we decided to go down to our local restaurant, the Mariner, and have a couple of hot cups of soup and something to munch on. And some friends of ours come walking in and like, oh, geez, darn, you're at home. We just went flying by your house. And well, what do you mean? And they drag in this parachute behind them. Well, it was a real windy day. And Lake Fanny Ho that we live on, just a little bit off of Lake Superior there, but the lake basically has a pretty much east-west orientation. And it's about 2.5 miles long. Mm-hmm. And it's perfectly frozen over and smooth as can be. So they just got this bright idea that, hey, I don't know who had the parachute. It's an honest goodness parachute. But they decided to throw this thing out on the ice with two plastic sleds tied behind it. And they took a video of it, which I reposted on Facebook.
I think I looked at that. That was cool.
They had fun.
Of course, after
the fact, I said, you know, with all this wind, it was putting a lot of trying to think of it was hitting a resonance tone on the ice as the wind went over it.
Yeah.
Because before they went flying by our house, and then Chris and I decided to go have lunch, I had been standing out on the dock taking some pictures for Foursquare. And as I'm standing out on the dock, this gust of wind goes by, and the ice blew right out behind me, just right along the shoreline. Just blew right up in the air, and water came flying out from the pressure of the wind on the ice. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's a little early in the season yet, but the video is incredible. And he put some, the photographer put some good music behind it, and they had fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were probably doing, you know, 40 miles an hour plus on the ice at one point.
Wow.
I think it's funny that you live on a lake called Fanny Ho.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's named after a teacher, actually.
Oh, okay.
She was a teacher and a nanny at Fort Wilkins Fort, the actual Army fort, back in the 1840s, 1850s.
Right.
And she came out here, taught for a while, then moved back out to the East Coast and got married and had a family. And but the soldiers named the lake after her.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
I'm sure it wasn't the Indians. So.
And she must have been Dutch. Looks like a Dutch name.
Yeah.
The way it's pronounced.
And whoever located this thing in Foursquare has spelled it wrong, and I've been going back and forth with Foursquare trying to correct that.
Ah, okay. Because, yeah, it looks very Dutch. It's H-O-O-E.
Yes, yes.
Which, you know, most people go, Fanny Hooey?
Fanny Hooey, yes.
Fanny Hooey?
Where's this lake Fanny Hooey? just keep going down the road. You'll find it.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. So both vehicles are back up and running?
Yep. We got the diesel truck running, so it's not boiling the electrolyte out of the batteries anymore.
Nice. But,
yes. And I just got the Jeep back this week, and let's see here: radiator, water pump, two CV joints on the front axle, new battery, new brakes, and thank God for honest Uper mechanics because they went through all of that stuff. Parts and labor was $830.
That's not bad, actually.
No, that's really good.
That's cheap.
I go in for an oil change and they charge me that.
Yeah, so.
Holy smokes. Wow, yeah, you got a new Jeep.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, just crank up that radiator cap and pull a new one underneath it there. But, yeah, it's in good shape. And just in time because the weather's been crap ever since. It's been snowing and blowing wind and the power's been going out and checking to make sure I've got gas in the generator. But life's been good.
Not to mention, I mean, you got a few miles on the Jeep, don't you?
Yeah. It's it's getting really close to $250,000 now. And most stuff is original. I mean, that's the original water pump. It is the second battery.
Really?
It's the fourth radiator. The one thing this Jeep has gone through is radiators. But all in all, I don't have a lot of complaints. And it didn't strand me anywhere. And I was actually taking care of a medical emergency when I caused this damage, other than the CV joints. Well, I'm not sure the CV joints being a little worn appreciated the due regard speed I was going to the hospital. That's probably what caused them to finally fail. Right. But my neighbor's life was more important than the CV joints. So everything turned right.
Good.
So, yeah, wow. Everything's back up and running.
$800, you can't go wrong with that, really. I mean, huh? It's a chunk of change, but, really, for all those parts to be put and installed, that's a heck of a deal.
Yep, by somebody you trust.
Yeah, exactly. It beats you laying in the snow out in the driveway trying to do it yourself.
Yep.
Wow. And you know what? I actually thought about the wonderful Uper diesel while I was driving back doing some errands today, thinking my next vehicle may end up being a diesel. And so I thought about you earlier. I thought about your truck.
Yeah, I've been pretty happy. Now both of those vehicles have been paid off since 2004.
Right.
So a little maintenance went on then doesn't bother me all that much either. You know, I'm certainly getting my money's worth out of them.
Okay, so your wife was in a photo shoot. I know we were talking about this pre-show.
Yep. And, you know, I was really happy that, first of all, I was shocked that she agreed to do it. I knew that a couple of the artists in town had been putting this photo shoot idea together and getting as many women in the town to partake as possible to model the clothing that one of the artists is making. And she's making late 1800s, early 1900s, Victorian era type clothing. And the other artist does a lot of jewelry and such. And they're just considering the history of the town, taking pictures in rustic locations and such. And they called my wife, and I was shocked to hear that she said yes, which I thought was really cool. My wife is an avid photographer, but she likes being on the other side of the camera. That, plus, she is... will readily admit to anybody that she generally is, you know, grew up a tomboy. She likes jeans. She likes flannel shirts. She doesn't dress up much. When she told me what she was doing at the photo shoot, I was busy with the kids on Saturday morning. Otherwise, I probably would have come down and watched. And after the fact, you're like, oh, crap, I would have wanted to come down and watch this. But this was full Victorian wear. I mean, I'm surprised she didn't turn around and walk out when they said, okay, let's start with the corset. But, she had on a corset and the petticoat and all the undergarments and layers and layers and layers of clothing on top of it. So, all that clothing makes her look really big, which she's not. But it does fit with the era that they're trying to, you know, to take the photos of. But she had a good time. And, and the photographer, I did mention this before, the photographer sent a complete set of the photos to me, quote-unquote, privately. Ha, 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 ha. I've got to talk to him going to Google+. On Facebook this morning to share with my wife, who does not have a Facebook account. And Facebook, for about 10 minutes, put all of them up public, which was not the intent. So I was scrambling to try to get through Facebook's privacy statements. I'm like, how do I hide all this stuff again? And then finally found it. But
yeah, I don't like that automatic upload and post.
Well, it came through as a custom post, but then I got this notification, and it just is my fault as well. I should have thought about it, but it was only in my first cup of coffee. They're like, Facebook has a notification for your timeline. Do you want to allow this? I'm like, okay. Oh, my God, what did I just do?
Yeah.
I go to my timeline, and there it is, all 59 pictures. Like, oh, no. So,
delete. No.
Yeah. Hide.
Yeah.
And then I sent an email back to the rest of the participants of the project saying, here's what the stupid IT guy in here in town did by accident on Facebook. So,
Wow. So
no, she had a good time, and I think they're going to continue taking more shots. And some of the stuff's going to be public, so as soon as it can be released. One of the cool things, and you guys saw previews of this, is that they took these shots in our new post office, which is using parts of the original post office that goes back to, again, the turn of the last century. So nice era, time era type stuff there.
Yeah, that was a neat picture. And the fact that somebody was forward-thinking enough to, when you build new post offices, to take the old window and go ahead and put it into the new post office, because that takes a little bit of history along with it. That's neat.
And a lot of the boxes and everything go back many generations in many post offices, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was cool. So you got a new wind generator project going on?
Yep. One of my neighbors further down the road from here, and I'm already pretty far out in the suburbs, needs some power for his lot, and it's not readily available by conventional means. And I had talked about the solar powered remote control gates that weren't quite cutting it.
Right.
So I've been doing some modifications to the power system there. But in my research, I found an English company called Marlec, who makes very efficient generators from low to medium power applications for wind generator use that start generating usable power at 6 miles an hour.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Now, wind is not necessarily an issue up here. I mean, this weekend we had wind advisories, as I call it, Copper Country Breeze. And the Copper Country Breezes are 45 to 55 miles an hour up here.
Yeah.
But it is way back in the woods, and we really didn't want to stick this thing up at the top of the 60-foot tree line.
Mm-hmm.
So we figured, about 20 feet in the air, and just something that was going to pick up whatever's around and just keep the battery banks up. And then I found this company. And I'm really impressed with it. It's heavy. It's... for a medium-duty wind generator, this thing's about 60 pounds, and it's expensive. It was about, with shipping, about $1,100. And you can get a nice 400-watt domestic unit around here, which we use on the internet for about $400. But I am really impressed with the quality of the build, and it looks like not only will this power his gates, but now I look at how efficient this system is. It's probably going to provide all of the power requirements he needs on the property, period.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Having fun with this project. And he's paying for it all. I could just get to play. So that's cool.
That's the best guy. So that is neat.
Yeah, we probably should mix these subjects up a little bit next time. All of a sudden it turns into the Uper update.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing, but...
No, that's fine. I mean, we can, but usually you throw them in at the last minute, so...
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But this is fun, because then now we get... this is basically, okay, what's going on up in Uper country?
Yeah. So we move into a little more throwy and a little less drinky.
Yeah. I want to hear about that.
Well, and it's not just me. We just had our second dart league. And second night of Dart League. And the first night of Dart League, the town literally just emptied into the brewery, which is a good thing for the brewery. And it's a good thing for the town. It's been a real quiet winter so far, so just getting everybody out and getting together is cool. But then there are some of us who have been to the brewery on more than one occasion, the mayor of Foursquare, who... somebody like me has a idea of what I'm drinking there.
Uh-huh.
Now, the name of the brewery is called the Brickside Brewery. And for people who are going there for the first time, we say, oh, so you're going to go get bricked at the brewery.
That's great.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really tasty. And if you're not familiar with it, like the stout is 18 proof. You will get very, very happy on the beer there. So all the teams are showing up. Everybody, you know, I had a pint to start out, another pint in the first game, and some of them had another pint in the second game. And for me, an average night there is I'll max out at 2.
Yeah.
Many of them had 3 or 4 that night.
Oh, no, I don't believe it.
And the town was moving a lot slower the next day. Not one or two people. You could tell who had been on the dart league the night before. So the term a little more throwy, a little less drinky became the theme of the week. So everybody was a little more reserved last Thursday night. We had a great time. Mm-hmm. About 10 o'clock is when the power failed. So being Copper Harbor, everybody broke out like a dozen candles, and all the lights above the dartboards are all LEDs, so just kept on going. And I knew at home everything would be all right. Well, my oldest son was in the shower getting ready for school the next day, and halfway through his shower, the power goes out, and my wife just yells, and don't move, I'll go. So she goes out, turns the key, bam, everything's fine.
Yeah.
And get through the dart league. I go back home, walk in the door, and as I told you guys, I think before the show, you know, as soon as I walked through the door, said hi to my wife, and immediately the pager went off and said goodbye to my wife, and went on to the next town over, which is 15 miles away, by the way. It's not a hop, skip, and jump.
Right.
Where a backup generator had exploded and set a house on fire. So nobody was hurt, fortunately, other than somebody's pocketbook. The house is in bad shape.
Wow, yeah.
But that was Dart League for this
Dart League. Yes, nothing like drinking pints of beer and handling pointy things.
Yep.
Aerodynamics.
But they say it's okay. There's a paramedic standing by.
Yeah.
The funny thing was, is, you know, I show up and the rest of the fire department shows up and they're all like, all right, we just had Dart League. Who's going to drive?
Yeah, really.
But they have several guys sitting out that aren't drinking on any mm-hmm. occasions. They had to wait for the designated drivers to show up, and then off we went.
Jeez. So, did we talk about the new media awards yet?
I think we did, because I think I mentioned that Leo Laporte's keynote was excellent.
Okay. I wasn't sure whether it was pre-show.
I don't know either. That's a danger of talking before the show.
I know, because our pre-show talk was dangerously just like the show. And I said, yeah. we should hang on to the stuff for the show. Yeah.
We tried to.
Yeah. So.
We could save some of the stuff for the next episode, because we're kind of getting up there, aren't we?
Well, we only got one. Well, we got a couple more. We've only got a couple more. We are getting up there.
My wife's the next one is my wife's Canon DSLR has the sensor has gone dark.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, jeez. And that's as I said, she doesn't normally like to be in front of the lens, but she spends a considerable amount of time behind the lens, so this is a big issue. Wow. Contact Canon. Canon was like, "Oh, we're so sorry, but that particular model is out of service at this point.
Time to buy a new one."
Yeah. That's a 60. Or she's got a D60, the replacement for it, 60D.
Yes.
That's not the cards right now.
Yeah. That's a nice camera, though.
Yes, it is. I did find there's a place called KEH.com out of Georgia, I believe. That is and Canon had recommended that a couple of third-party repair places. They couldn't say, you know, in particular which one, but this is one of the ones that does refurbs. So I'm going to give them a call tomorrow and see. They have a flat rate for rebuilding professional cameras. Mm-hmm. So I'll see a flat rate on repairing this D60 versus just buying one of the refurbs, which makes more sense. So mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This thing is pristine other than the fact that the sensor's gone.
Right.
Hard call to make. I mean, it's a 6.1 megapixel, but a 6.1 megapixel with really good optics on it, yeah, you know, you still get a really nice picture. But yep. The new ones are 18 megapixels, so I don't know. We could be making those decisions.
Yeah. But you have to take a mortgage out to get some of those cameras.
Yeah, and right after Christmas, I'm not sure that's a...
Right.
Right, that's...
So your son is in the robotics competition?
Yep, my oldest son is part of the robotics team of the school, which is cool, except that their meeting is at starts at 6 o'clock and goes to 9 o'clock every for the next 6 weeks.
And that's at least 40-some miles away, right?
Yeah, it's about an 80-mile round trip.
Right, okay.
And he's done with school at 3:30, so it's a long time just to hang around town from 3:30 to 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Takes the bus home. He's home for about half an hour, and then we got to turn around and go back.
Right.
So then that's two-hour round trips he makes in a day.
Yeah.
I'm going to put this out with the teacher. I'm going to get there with him as much as I can, but it's also about $16 to $20 a day in fuel.
Holy smokes. Wow.
Yeah.
So,
and those things, they meet every day, don't they? Pretty much, or
they meet every day because now they have a time limit. You know, they can start the build at a certain date, and they've got 6 weeks to get it done, mm-hmm. and then go to the competition. So I'm going to get them there for as many of as I can, and the only justification besides the fact that I want to support him in this is that he's also going for his full driver's license. He's got his student license now, and he needs as much practice time as he can get.
Ah.
So I'm like. Oh, okay, you're going to get to drive to the school and drive back.
Yeah, I was going to say, you get to play passenger. I mean, yep. Passenger, you know, with the finger marks on the in the armrest.
Well, he has been driving since last August now. But,
okay.
Now we're dealing with things like ice-covered roads and snow.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
But so, that's a, no, that gives him
60 anymore. Ah!
That's that gives you lots of it gives him lots of practice, which is good.
Yeah, gives Dad gray hairs. Have you gone through this yet, Josh?
Josh, did we lose Josh? Josh,
party this week. So wait a minute, we're on Skype now.
Yeah, we are. I see his picture there, but Josh seems to have disappeared. At least, Josh, we cannot hear you. Can you hear us? Okay, let's get the Ouija board out. We're trying to call Josh. Josh, are you there, Josh? And the Ouija board is moving to the yes. He can hear us.
Yes, I can hear you.
There he is. Oh, my God, a voice.
I'm back. I actually had to step away from the microphone for a moment.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Hey, he got back at you. Michael got back at you.
Did he really?
Yeah, he asked you a question.
We were talking about student drivers. And Josh, you haven't dealt with that yet, have you?
No, actually. Cricket. Yeah, oh, my God. No, actually, I get to deal with it. In less than a month.
No, well, we were talking about the finger marks I had in the dashboard and stuff.
I am scared to death. I honestly, God, I just the thought. I mean, and my daughter's extremely responsible, intelligent young lady, but just the idea of saying, okay, let's, you know, Pop jumps in the passenger seat and the little girl sits behind where all the controls and gauges are, and I'm thinking, oh. My God. I need to find a it's like anything else. It's like I actually taught my wife how to drive here in the United States, having moved here from England, and several other folks, which is I tell them the same thing. It sounds corny and it sounds cliche, but trust your ass. Your ass is going to tell you where that car is headed way more than your eyes will. Way more than what your brain will. Trust your butt. And
that's
when your butt
your inertia
that,
meter.
Exactly. And that will tell you what the car is doing and whether or not it's about ready to lose control, if it's getting ready to start to slide. Your ass will tell you long before any other sense will. It says, and then once you get real good, then you start to factor in all the other different little things. It says, but trust your butt. If your butt feels like the car is out of control, it's out of control, but you still might be able to get it back. And so, you know, with, you know, sliding on ice and snow and so forth. So, yeah, less than a month, and I'm scared to death. Oh, God, help me.
As speaking of silence of the mics, by the way, it goes back a couple of months now. I remember telling Barry about it after the fact, but it was one of those shows where I was really, really tired. And yeah. I don't remember what number it was anymore, but halfway through the show, I actually fell asleep.
I don't remember that one, but okie doke.
Well, it was pretty transparent, fortunately. There was this conversation going on. It never got around back to me until I don't remember if I woke up before the question hit me or somebody asked me a question and it just kind of came out of my self-conscious. But all of a sudden I realized, I am completely asleep in my office. Oh, there's a show going on.
Gosh, that's funny.
I'm sorry. Four listeners, yes, you are very important to me. Please don't take this wrong.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, jeez. Well, guys, speaking of timing, we've been going long. So it's about time to call this one for the week. And we want to thank all the military out there, both CONUS and OCONUS. And you, OCONUS guys, thanks for what you're doing. Hope you get back to your family and friends real soon. Maybe. I think our president may be calling you back sooner than was planned. So we'll see. So we do have a musical guest tonight, David Phillips, and his song, Link in the Chain. So that'll be following us saying goodbye. And thanks for... This is show 79. Next week, yeah. Show number 80.
Yeah. Wow.
We're almost getting past the old radio QRM.
That's true.
I think it only went to 81, so I'll have to double check on that. So anyway, thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
From the southwest corner of New Hampshire, this is Barry J.
From the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Josh.
And from the geographical center of Lake Superior, I'm Michael the Virtual Uber.
And we'll see you all next week. Here's David Phillips.
I may not believe in the big man up above. the suffering, near the end of the grief. Only love is gonna bring that kind of relief. Ooh. I don't believe that anyone worthy is right. I don't believe that anyone way is right. I don't believe that anyone way is absolutely right. There ain't no way you're gonna get me to fight. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I believe we all want in the same. I believe we are one, every child, woman, and man. We are all just a link in a chain.
Samson, speak. Good boy.